This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Welcome to Nirvana Sisters Podcast, where we take the intimidation out of well-being and beauty to help you achieve your highest state, your Nirvana. We are sisters-in-law and your hosts. I'm Amy Sherman.
And I'm Katie Chandler. So let's get into some real conversation.
Welcome to Nirvana Sisters, Nirvana Sisters family. Hope everyone is doing well. We have a special guest today. We are talking to Christine Morrison. And let me tell you a little bit about Christine, and I'll also tell you how we met. But Christine is a seasoned freelance writer whose work centers around her achievements and passions, often is seen through the lens of aging, the business of fashion, beauty, and a devotion to wellness and fitness. Her writing has appeared in print and online vehicles, including the Boston Globe, the Washington Post, and the Quality Edit, as well as advertising campaigns for fashion and beauty brands. She was recently featured in an anthology and is currently writing a fashion essay collection, reflecting on the meaning behind and the humor in what she wore while forming her identity, navigating her way to true love and discovering her authentic self. That sounds so fun. I can't wait to hear about that. So welcome to the show, Christine. So funny story. We had posted something about a new trend called bed rotting. Yeah. And I wrote on the Instagram post, I feel seen because it's like literally what I do every weekend and I always felt guilty about it. And then it was named and I was like, this is amazing. I feel seen, like bed rotting. It's like a thing now. And then Christine and I started talking about all things beauty and really anti-beauty beauty. So welcome to the show, Christine. We're so excited to have you and just have like a deeper conversation about beauty and what it means today.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, bed rotting, that was so funny. I had never heard the word before, but I was so excited that that was becoming a thing.
Yeah, I, Katie and I talk all the time and I'm like, I'm going to be in my bed all morning bed rotting, so I'll talk to you later today.
I think my husband and little boys would be like, what's that? They would be freaked out by that word. But I feel like there is a time and a place for this at this point. I know I looked it up like because I wanted to know what the actual definition was because I'm not a TikTok person. But it said basically like this is a new form of self-care and it's spending all day or all weekend in bed. And it said like doom scrolling. Now I can go without the doom scrolling, but just the laying in bed, binging a show or reading a book. My whole thing would be reading a book. But after all the eras of the girl boss and the hustle culture and leaning in, I feel like, aren't we kind of due a little bit of relaxation? I would say yes.
For sure.
100%.
Yeah, right?
100%.
Yeah. No, I hate to break it to both of you, but I've been bed rotting for years.
Me too. Yeah.
I've been doing it for years.
Now it actually has a name. Now right. It has a name. Right.
No, I had.
But it is.
And I had twins, it is and I like haven't been bed rotting.
Yeah, understandably
oh,
gosh. So. Yeah. Yeah. No, I have been, for me, bed rotting is a way of preventing my autoimmune from flaring up. So it's like prescription bed rotting, which is kind of.
I love that. Yeah. And it's almost like gave you, and then sad that you needed the word, but it gives you permission to take care of yourself and you don't need permission. I'm giving you permission today.
It's true. I know exactly what you mean. We all live in the guilt.
We need it. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we've gotten too caught up in it. And I'm so glad more and more that whether you have to have a name for it or not, that wellness and taking care of yourself is not just a beauty ritual, but a lifestyle and something you have to do for your well-being.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I also think that the idea behind, you know, around bed rotting, which we need to change the rotting
the
to like
rotting
a more positive
thing,
word.
Yeah,
I don't want to make it feel like we're, you know,
yeah,
we got to think exactly. of another one. Maybe it's rooting. I don't know. But I do feel, and I've always done this too, and again, it's funny to have a term around it, but just like having that time to yourself, whether it's like an hour or two in bed, to your point, binging shows, doom scrolling, or laying with your animals like I do and like yeah. my pets and whatever, just that time to yourself and having that regroup
yeah.
whenever you can have it is so crucial because then you just feel revitalized afterwards. You feel rested. You feel good.
100%.
But I realized we forgot to do our weekly Nirvana and we should take a step back and do that quickly because it's been a week. We're recording, you know, the week of all of the Mideast crisis that's happening, and we're not going to go deep into that. So it's actually been, I was thinking about this morning, been a really hard week for all of us. And it's kind of hard to think about like what a weekly nirvana could be or would be in this kind of dark time right now. But I can start. I actually had two this morning, which I thought were really a nice end to my week. So someone in my other job texted me this morning and just said, "Hey, thinking of you, just wanted to share my support and love." And it was like someone I didn't really know, someone that I like work with, but don't work with closely or know. And I just thought it was really sweet. Just that she reached out and said something was really touching, because not that many people do that. So I thought that was really nice. And then the other nice thing that happened this morning was my older son is having a friend sleepover all weekend because his parents are away for the weekend and it's homecoming weekend here and it's all this stuff. And anyway, his friend's sleeping over, but the mom sent our family like this really beautiful bouquet of flowers. And it was like such a good week to get it. First of all, it was so nice to do that and so unnecessary, but like it was just like so sweet and nice. It was just nice to get some like beautiful flowers into my home just because it's been such a kind of obviously depressing week. But what about you, Katie?
Yeah, it has been an incredibly difficult week. I think last night on the train when I was coming back from the city where I think my headspace for where it's been this week, I found myself instead of just ripping by the train stations and not paying attention to my surroundings, I was watching people and their humanity and like just seeing a father pick up his son and seeing a woman that looked like she had had a long day and heading home for the day and just kind of paying attention and thinking about we are all human. The world is going to be okay.
Yeah.
So I think that was mine. Instead of just like the usual, just seeing people and not thinking anything when you see these
right, rushing
the
through.
Right.
What about you, Christine?
Well, it's funny that you say that about people, the humanity of people just showing up and stepping up in ways that you can't believe. I don't know these two women, but I saw that they were having this beauty sale in New York City, and I'm obviously not there anymore, but they're having it on Saturday to support the Israeli Red Cross and Israel Aid. And I reached out and I said, "Do you need more products?" Because I don't know what they need or whatever. And she's like, "Sure." And I was like, "I don't know what you need." And she said, "Oh, sure, anything." And I reached out to a handful of brands, and a lot of these brands are startups. So they have very little still, and they are still fighting for funding and everything. And I mean, 99% of them were like, "Oh, I'll ship whatever you need." And they shipped product and donations.
Oh, that's so nice.
And it was like, people just are showing up for one another. And that does give you faith in people and humanity that while our country is not experiencing what they are, just to witness people that don't know each other, that, you know, are getting obviously nothing out of it, that have very little, but know that they have so much in comparison to what is happening across the world. I just thought that was an incredible thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really nice. Puts things into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about anti-beauty beauty and what that means and kind of get your thoughts about that, Christine.
So one of the things when we were talking about it over Instagram, I was trying to find a way to sort of define it. Like, how does someone define it? Okay. So anti-beauty beauty, the way that people define it, and so funny to me is like when people go online and write about brands that don't work. And it's really led by, what's her name? The housewife. Oh my goodness.
Bethany.
Oh, Bethany.
Bethany Frankel. Right. She, and then she's got all these other people on TikTok and people are up in arms. And so that's what they say is like, that's anti-beauty beauty. And I'm constantly like, no, you know, I think of it as beauty that doesn't require so much money or so many steps and more about how it's impacted by our health and our wellness and how that affects like our aesthetic. And that's how mm-hmm. I think about it. And I, because there's so much that you can do that's not like a moisturizer, you know, whatever. And that does impact what you look like, how you feel about what you look like. And that's especially as you age, because there's only so many things that you want to do or should be doing. And, because it's pushing water uphill at some point because gravity is setting in. I'm sorry.
Right.
But that's how I think of it. I don't think of it as, you know, negating what products define themselves as or anything like that. I just think it's like stepping away from the need to have an incessant 17-step program or constantly be gutting. And no judgment, you know, I'm all about like taking care of your skin, and, you know, injectables are fine or whatever you want to do. But it's when it kind of takes over your world, or is something that is like, it's almost like, what's your intention when you're doing it? Is it to fight gravity or fight what you look like, or rather than be like a contentment or feeling good in your skin, things like that. I think it just depends on how you're approaching it, in my opinion.
I agree with that. Are we doing it so that we feel confident and happy in our skin and we can know ourselves, and or are we doing it because we have something to prove, or we're, you know, fighting time? Yeah. And there's a lot of truth to, you know, what we put in our bodies can do volumes to external. And a lot of people don't, I think, I really do believe that a lot of people don't know that, or
believe, or want it, to accept it. I don't understand why there's been so much, and I don't know, is it because they haven't seen the proof or something, and, or they're not willing to try it? I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. And just going back to Bethany quickly, I do, you know, when she first came out in the game doing all of that stuff, and a lot of people will call it like de-influencing or whatever, but I actually like appreciate it, or, and still do appreciate her candor, because, and I think people trust her because she could buy anything she wants in the world, but she's practical.
Yeah.
And so she's like, here's the expensive things that, like, if you want to treat yourself, great. Here are the things that are crappy. And here are the things, you know, in the drugstore that you can have, and, you know, have a two-step skincare routine and you're good to go. And like, I think people just really trust her because she is practical, and she's
really honest.
Yeah. She's giving it to you.
She's honest. She's relatable in the sense, you know, she's going to like the TJ Maxx and whatever and finding stuff, and she's doing the high end and she's doing the low end, and she mixes high and low. And
absolutely,
she's just relatable in that way, and very, 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 very honest. And I think she's always been that way, which is why people trust her.
It kind of goes back to having nothing to prove. And I'm sure that there's a million people that would say, oh, Bethany Frankel always acts like she has something to prove because she speaks up on literally everything. But I think,
that's a great point.
Yeah. But this specific piece, she doesn't have anything to prove in her beauty regimen. Like, she doesn't care about a 16-step process and if that makes her cool and et cetera.
Yeah. Right. And it's funny because which we do at the end of every show is like our 5-minute flow, which is exactly that. It's like, strip away everything. Like, what are those like core things that like make you feel good? And we were talking about that before around like the intention behind it. And I think we always talk, you know, on the show about, you're doing these things like because they make you feel better, because they make you more confident. Yes, there's aesthetic reasons, but it's really like at the end of the day, so you feel good. So you, whatever that may be,
whatever it
you
is,
you get a blow up, you feel good. You get whatever, like you do, you have your bed ratting in the morning and then you feel good the rest of the day and you feel confident just like you've had that time to yourself. So it's, to your point, I totally agree, the intention behind it versus the opposite where you see people, and if you do want to do a 20-step skincare routine, great. But then you see the people doing that just to do it because it's like
trying to keep up with people.
Right.
To keep up with. And that's what we don't love.
Right. Exactly. I hate that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, it's not totally necessary. Like, let's call it what it is. Like,
achieve
results.
It's incredible. It's almost like setting you backward. I just did this incredible article on a brand that has proven this woman that's a former beauty writer and editor. Her sister is the director of, I'm going to screw this up. It's like, she's the director of the Human Microbiome Institute at Cedars-Sinai. And together, she was able to come up with a brand called Editrix. And I wrote this piece for the Quality Edit on it. And at the end of the day, all the things that we are doing is obviously damaging the microbiome. So it won't do it. Almost their whole point is, let your skin act the way it needs to act. And if you stop damaging it so much, it will actually repair itself. It will do things itself. It will act the way it's naturally supposed to act. The reason why you're having so much eczema, sensitive skin issues along the way, aging so much faster, is because of all the retinols and everything that we're doing. So anyway.
It's right. Really, it's like that less is more.
Less is always, yeah. Less is always more.
And the inside out piece, what you're putting on is affecting you out. Internally, which is then coming out externally. And it's kind of like this vicious cycle, right? So I'm going to put this topical on it, but it can ultimately, they're saying, hurt you internally. Microbiome exactly. Effects and everything. I would love to read that piece. It sounds
because,
great.
You know, and I'll send it to you because you're right, because the microbiome is your skin health, and it's 100. There's a language between your gut health and your skin health. And it's through the microbiome, the microbiome language or something. Read the article. It was like taking a science class. I met with her for hours and hours and hours.
Wow.
And I am not well versed in it at this very moment. It took a lot of me to do that, but because I really wanted to understand it. And I think to your point, I don't think that people want to go that deep to find out when they find there's a quick fix if you use these five products.
Right. Yeah. Totally. That's true.
Let's move to another topic, which is really around wellness and aging and normalizing it. And I think just the media and people on social media and podcasts are getting better at this. But I just can't stand when I listen to podcasts of people in our age bracket and they're like, oh, I can't talk about menopause, or oh, no, that's never going to happen to us. And I'm like, I find that so irritating and so unrelatable. I'm like, this is happening. Talk about it. Oprah did a really good job recently, or I think it was in the last year. She did some whole like conference around menopause and she got all these celebrities involved and it brought a lot of awareness to it. But that drives me nuts when people just can't age gracefully and embrace their age versus trying to find that fountain of youth or like go back.
Or seem like it's like they're shaming menopause. Like we can't talk
right,
about it.
Correct.
Are you kidding me? This is happening. It's inevitable. Like without
a shadow. Right. And I mean, and the beauty is, you're right, so many people still think it's a little taboo, but thank God for, you know, Naomi Watts' company, yeah. The Stripes, and yes. Sadly, another company just went under, but so many, and my doctor's name is Dr. Taz. She just wrote a book and she did a Q&A with Gwyneth Paltrow, who is obviously big about talking about taboo topics and getting the noise at a level where people are like, oh, wait, we should pay attention to this. But you're absolutely right. We need to realize that, you know, it's going to happen. There's physical, mental, emotional, all of this health. We have to listen to what's happening because I'm 54 and I'm just at the tail end of menopause. And if I had had that Susan Dominus New York Times article, that is, I swear, been spread to everybody I've ever met 8 years ago, I think the headline was Women Have Been Misled About Menopause. It's in the New York Times. If you haven't read it, please go and read it. It breaks down all of the things, all of the myths and misconceptions that have been going on all this time because of that one NIH study, all that time.
Women's Health Initiative.
Exactly. And why women were scared to take hormones. And it's so wonderful. And about what's now happening in the world of menopause and all the brands and all the people that are trying to get out there and try to talk about it. But we are just, this is the tip of the iceberg, right?
Scratching the surface for sure.
We're totally scratching agree. The surface. Exactly.
Yeah. But it's good that it's starting the conversation. I also find too, women around our age, just, you know, offline when you're talking to other moms or whomever, once you start talking about hormones and all these things, everyone bonds around it because everyone's going through the same thing.
My God.
So now you're having like deeper conversations about health and well-being and like how to take care of yourself, and everyone's sharing things. And that's half the reason we have the show, right? To share and to talk about our experiences. And I just find it so nice when I meet people and we can just connect on something that we can all relate to and share those tips and tricks and learn from one another.
It's interesting too, like more. This Women's Health Initiative affected generations of women that were not allowed to be given hormones and just went through the most brutal menopausal transition. I talked to my mom about it. Like my mom is now, you know, she's 70 and she's going to go talk to her doctor about starting hormones. Like there's nothing wrong with that, you know? And so it is getting the conversation started, making it like saying menopause in a public restaurant out loud without being worrying that the table next to you is going to look at you like you're old and crazy. You know, I mean, that's, and you're right. These celebrities have definitely helped bring up the noise level, which is, it's fantastic. I mean, we've got to get like all the stigma out. All of it's got to.
And you know, it's, and this, unfortunately, one of the stigmas I just started to read about is in the workplace. There's because there's a bit of an ageism issue anyway, where you feel like you have to keep it hush hush because then they're like, ooh, she's so old, you know, because it's still equated with being an old lady and, you know, hot flashes and all the things are like, oh, is she old and crazy and in menopause? It's like, oh my gosh.
It's
funny that you say that. I just read something. It was like a little, I think it was on, I don't know if it was on LinkedIn or Instagram, but do you know Shelley Zalis?
No.
She's the founder of something called, let's see if I have this right, the female quotient.
Oh, I've heard and it's of all that. About like, yes, amazing.
Yeah. I've met her before. She's incredible. And she, you know, it's all about like women's leadership and power in the workplace and speaking up and all of those things. And she had an anecdote, I think it was again on LinkedIn or something. And she was talking about how she was in a meeting years ago, like a big executive meeting. And it was like her and like actually a bunch of women around the table. And like she, in the middle of the meeting or whatever it was, she was like going through her hot flush. So she like fanned herself. And then the other one were like, oh, thank God. And they all started fanning themselves. And it was just like, it was such a moment of like bonding of like, oh my God, we don't have to be so corporate and buttons up. Like we can all fan ourselves because we're going through the same thing. And she's like, it was such a like funny, you know, experience just to be in like, you know, sort of an uptight boardroom situation. But then all the women, like, as soon as she did that, were like, oh,
that's really funny.
So I just thought that was really, really funny.
The only other thing that does come out of both that article and everything that's been talked about is the medical community just doesn't have enough education in it. Like doctors, I guess it's something like 2 hours or something in medical school, you get trained on menopause versus fertility is,
that's,
you know,
shocking.
Obviously, it's shocking,
it's
right?
Shocking.
The ratio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then,
yeah, the OBGYNs, like the traditional, they don't talk about it. They're like, oh, yeah, you're menopause, take this. There's no, that's it. Unless you go to someone who's like, you know, knows what they're doing and is like really versed or is like more naturopathic.
There's
or
there's the, and we might have talked about this before, but it's good for our listeners to know. If you go to the North American National Menopause Society, there is a list of OB-GYNs in your area that are certified in menopausal training, and they will give you hormones and they will treat you like this is all normal, which it is.
That is a fantastic resource. I'm so glad you mentioned it. And if I can mention, she just published her book. The book that she talked about with Gwyneth is Dr. Taz Bhatia wrote a book called The Hormonal Shift. And you can be in pre-perimenopause, but it will start to give you the education of how do I know that I'm even starting this?
Right.
You know, it'll step you step by step. You just, because there's so many, if you don't have women around you and you don't have a doctor that listens, you know, it's hard to know what to even ask a doctor.
Without a doubt.
It's hard
to know what's happening to you when it slowly starts with perimenopause symptoms.
Scary.
Yeah.
So just, I was just thinking just a funny story or not story, but just thought when we were talking before about wellness and aging gracefully, I don't know if anybody's watching The Golden Bachelor.
But I hear
I've only seen one episode. It's really good. I have to catch up.
Okay.
But point being, all these women are like in their late 60s, early 70s.
Fantastic.
They all look amazing. And they've like, you can tell they've aged gracefully, right? I mean, of course, there's some women that are a little overboard with the face, but most of them are like just natural beauties. They're all like gorgeous women, but they've taken care of themselves so well. You can tell some of them are in their 70s. I'm like, I mean, they look incredible,
awesome,
but they have wrinkles and they have this and they have that, but they just look incredible. So like the days of people being in their 70s and looking like
the golden girl,
olds and gray and the like, that's just not,
it's not the world.
That's
we live
not
in.
It anymore. Yeah. People are like, it's kind of like in the Barbie movie, you know, when she looks over. I posted this the other day. That's why it's the top of my head, where she looks over at the old woman in the bus stop and she's like, you're so beautiful. It's so true.
Yeah.
And
I love it when
it's just nice to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought of that because it's just the world now is very different when it comes to aging. But yes, the conversations need to keep happening and the embracing of it and stop trying to like beat the clock. Just embrace it, age gracefully and like, you know, enhance what you have to make you feel better.
And be proud. And be proud of the aging life experience and the stripes that we wear from all of our life experience. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like say your age with shout it.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about, I know we want to kind of talk about the pitfalls of beauty currently and sort of this disingenuous information that's out there and spreading false info, which is everywhere. It's really scary and it's very hard to know who to trust. Yeah. Love to get your thoughts on that.
Well, that's really funny. So that's another reason I had contacted you is, so I have a Substack and the most recent one that I wrote was called Coming Clean about the beauty industry. And it was saying, I'm putting a stake in the ground. I'm not writing any more beauty editorial because while I do a lot of research and interview founders and do as much as I can to get truth out there, the pitches and the desperation of both some brands and just the noise of TikTok and everything and influencers, to me, I'm probably going to get canned for this, but influencers are like a four-letter word in my opinion, because especially when it comes to skincare, there's so many myths and so much misinformation that are leading women down the wrong road. I mean, and sunscreen is just one good example of that. They don't know what they're saying and they're telling them brands to use. And then I have this one derm that I used for an article and she's like, do you know? And I'm like, I know. I didn't write it. I don't know. You know, it's really hard to know because there's more influencers than ever. They make like 4 billion or more in sales, right? They're celeb brands and they use white label products a lot of times. So they just put their labels on it and they say, and then they look amazing. And then people want to look like that. And so I feel like it goes back to doing wellness and health types of things, and then knowing who to trust. Trust people who have been schooled in these things. Trust your dermatologist. Absolutely. Trust your surgeon that gives you the injections that might say, you know what, you should use this brand and only use these products. Don't fall into the trap of all the links and the sales and and trying something new every month and all of the time that there's something is a trend is not good for you or your skin.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't even give you time to make traction. If you're doing, if you're constantly changing it. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And then you might think it doesn't work because then you have had a reaction to it. Well, that could have been 2 times ago product.
Yeah.
So,
right. It could be from something. Exactly.
You know, so I always say, stay away from influencers and TikTok trends and all of that. You stay with, and if you are going to read stories, make sure these people are talking to legitimate sources. Sometimes even great, you know, like Elle or whoever, they might just be saying, here are brands that we like, but make sure that they've talked, not just editors, but make sure those editors have talked to people and all of that. It's always about someone that's been schooled in this and has done their homework. That's all.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's really difficult, I can imagine, for the younger generation.
Yeah.
And sussing out what's real and what's not. Like, I mean, Katie has 2 daughters as they get older. Like, you can just get sucked in without knowing. I think when you're older, you sort of can like look around and try to figure out if it's legitimate and make your own choices. But all these kids with the filters and the this and the that, it's scary. It's really, really scary. So that's why I appreciate people like Bethany. Actually, people like Alex Earle, right? She has bad skin and she shows it all the time.
Right.
And she talks about all her issues with her skin or this or that. And I think,
look for those authentic voices. Exactly. Yeah. There are people out there. They're few and far between, but follow. Those are the people to see what their what their journey is. Absolutely.
And I think that's why she's become so popular because honesty. Of that honesty. I also would say when you were talking about the legitimate sources, I listen to the podcast a lot, Breaking Beauty. You know that podcast?
I do. Yep.
And they're 2 former beauty editors. So I trust everything that they say. Like if I really want to learn about products, I'll listen to them because I know that they've interviewed the people.
Exactly.
They know they're very reputable versus like somebody else is just recommending. I mean, Katie and I recommend products all the time, but it's just stuff we personally like. We're not saying this would work for you. We're just saying this is fun. Check it out.
Exactly. You know? Because you've used it and that's different.
Right.
And you know what's fun about that is like I've used it. You're not saying, here's a link. You have to try this to have a good life.
Right.
That's what some of these influencers are like. You know, I feel that they're like, you know what, look at me, look at my great life. I wear these, this eyeshadow.
This is how you achieve lotion.
This is how you achieve it.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It goes back to intention, to what is their intention? Their intention is to make money.
Right.
You know, their intention is not to help you. They're not friends with you, you know? So, yeah.
It's so true. Yeah. That all being said, I mean, we could talk about this for hours, but how do we still have fun with beauty? Because we all love it,
and
right?
I love that question. I love it.
Yeah.
We still want to have fun. Okay. Well, there's so many fun things. So the first thing is, you know, everybody knows and loves Jenna Lyons because she's on Real Housewives. But before she was on Real Housewives and she was an icon, style icon, because of J. Crew, and she started Love Scene Eyelashes. Have you guys tried these?
No, I
have not.
Fake eyelashes are so fun. And Love Scene is super easy to put on. And if you just want to it's kind of like the bed riding idea. If you want on a random Wednesday to go have lunch with a friend and you put on these Love Scene eyelashes. Now they have some that are, you know, real severe. And then they have some, and I did that like Kim Kardashian.
Right. I know exactly what you're saying.
Or some that are just look like you had on a good healthy coat of mascara. But it's so fun. That's something you can play with. Doesn't harm anybody. You might love it. It's just playful, fun. It's just like, I love it. And I do it.
I am so glad you said that. I need to try it. So we did a whole episode, what was it? A couple months ago called The Eye Edition, because I used to have extensions for a while. And then I started trying all the ones that you could do yourself. And I've become a master at like all these different ones and how to use them and whatever. Are those just for the day or do they last a few days?
And you can, I think you need to take them off. I've worn them overnight, but you need to take them off, but you can reuse them.
Yeah, okay, nice. Great.
And
I need to try those. And that's one of those things that kind of tying back to what we were talking about earlier, because I was wearing them for a while. When I put those on, I feel like $1 million. I don't have to wear makeup. Right. It like brightens your face. You feel like it's the best.
Right. You can put on carpool and you win carpool. I don't know. There's like something about the way you feel about yourself.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Also, I'm all about a good like lip oil because my hair is too short now to fall into my face. So the really fun thing that I got recently was St. Jane is a good skincare brand. I love their, it's very florally. So it's, I don't wear a lot of it on my face necessarily, but I do like the brand, but they did a partnership with Favorite Daughter. And I think those girls are hilarious. And they did a lip oil. One's called Calm. One's called Chaos. I don't know which sister is Calm and which is Chaos because they're both kind of both. But, and there are two different colors and it's just a fun, I don't know. I just thought it was fun. That's all.
Oh, I love
to
that.
Play with.
To try that.
But, and also I'm a big fan of, I don't need pink or blue hair or anything like that, but you know, I cut my hair all the time and I play around with like going a little darker, going a little lighter, you know, with Violet. I don't know, just playing around with hair because hair grows.
Hair grows. I know. Color changes.
That's true. I just cut mine recently.
She has grayish blonde hair, but then she changes her roots to a fun, funky, great, different color every few, like every other month.
Who does this?
One of my clients. She's great.
Oh my God.
She has fun. Awesome. It's fun. Having fun with beauty.
And for women that want to go gray, like go for it.
Go for
it. You know, the grow out is hard. I know. But you know what? Do it. I had to break up with my colorist about 7 years ago. I was super blonde. And he's like, what are you doing? And I go, I need to stop pretending I'm 40, you know, and that's fine if you want to be super blonde. He's like, but you would high gray. I'm like, I don't have any gray. I want to be a brunette like the way God intended me to be. And it's been fun. And then I cut all my Sarah Jessica Parker curls off. I have the shortest bob in the world right now. But like you can play. And again, it's all for me. It has nothing to do with anybody else.
Yeah.
So stuff great. Like that.
That's so true. I actually just cut my hair shorter recently too. My hair was always long forever. And then over the last few years, I've like grown it, cut it short and played around with it. But I was just saying to Katie when I got my hair highlighted a couple of weeks ago, I changed it to be more texture because I found that it was too blonde. And I was like, I said to my colorist, who I love, I was like, I had like a whole briefing with her for half an hour. I'm like, let me show you pictures. This is what I mean. Uh-huh. I just don't want my highlights to make my hair all look blonde. I want like texture. I want it to be like dark in places. And she's like, yeah, same thing. But I hide your gray. I'm like, I don't have that much gray. And I don't care. Like, I just don't want it to feel like not, I don't know. I just wanted
to. I think it goes back to intent. Like, I didn't want to act like I was trying to look younger. And I was like,
I just also felt like it was like washing me out. Yeah,
because my skin and my eyebrows and everything. And I did microblade my eyebrows so that they would be nice, cold, and thick because they were getting a little sparse. And I'm like, that is part of my face and it's important. And then the last thing was glasses. I obviously have to wear readers now and what, you know, and so you can play around with like, this is like a Tom Ford.
Kind yeah. Those of are so cool.
Reader. And these are Look Optique, but,
I have Look Optique.
I love them. Those. They're really light. I can wear them all day and I don't feel like I have like an indentation on my face, but just being able to play around because it's inevitable. People are going to get readers, you know, and just being able to play with glasses and stuff. I don't know.
These are part of beauty.
No. Super fun
tips of things that we can do that I believe are helping age gracefully and keeping it fun and light. And I love it.
Totally.
All right. Totally. We need to dive into
our few minutes left.
Let's dive into our wrap session stat because I'm really excited to hear Christine's answers to these questions. So Christine, what is your favorite wellness or beauty hack?
Okay. This is going to be very hard to narrow this down. I will be honest. I have a lot, but one of my all-time favorites is, have you ever used the higher dose sauna blanket?
No.
Okay. I did write a piece about this. And so I'm going to send you links to some of these articles, but
please. Yeah, we'll post them.
Because I'm a big fan of listening to, I mean, you have to have like a notebook and 2 hours and a pen. Maybe you bed rot during it. I don't know. But Huberman's Lab podcast.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Obsessed.
It's a college education.
Yeah.
But he did some things. We have a sauna in our house, but because of menopause, I cannot sit in that thing. So I found the higher dose sauna blanket and you get inside and it is a you don't get all of the same benefits as you would sitting in a sauna because of you don't get the same temperature, but hey, the menopause thing, I couldn't sit in a temperature like that, but in this sauna blanket, my head is out. You don't go as high in the temps, but you detoxify the body. You burn about 400 calories, which is like a light jog. And it is the most relaxing thing at the end of the day. You sleep like a baby, but I CrossFit. And so I ache a lot often. So I get out of it. I feel like my muscles are soothed. It is a great way to end my day. I only get to do it a couple times a week, but it's,
how long do you do it for?
Well, it'll click off and I'm trying to find out. I don't know. I stay in it like 20, 30 minutes sometimes.
Ooh.
It is just.
Sounds so good. Like it's a peaceful, in the winter too, when you're like cold.
Yeah. Sounds really nice.
And I put it up to 8, which is like the highest it goes. But that's one of my favorite things. But I have to tell you one other. The other one, I hate every single green juice. I have a low tolerance for crap. Like even quality good, I cannot taste. But the Saqqara, I think it's called greens and protein and greens super powder.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep,
it has a hint.
I haven't tried that one.
It has a hint of vanilla that I swear takes away the disgusting flavor.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's so good because now I'm able to use, I just put it with malk, which is almonds and the water. And after CrossFit, and I'm like, oh, good. I want to get those nutrients, but I could never get them in. So it's my two favorite things.
I love those. Yeah. Those are great, great recommendations. I'm gonna have to. I've seen the higher dose online, but I just have never tried it. And it looks, it looks
delightful.
Like it would be such a good detox. You must feel like so refreshed afterwards.
Yeah, you have to wear clothes inside because.
Oh,
socks, pants.
Yeah, because I guess there's.
But I'm getting ready to buy the insert so that you can be, as my kids say, nay, nay. Okay. Go inside without anything on, which is how you really want a sauna. So.
Okay. 5-minute flow. You just got out of the shower, dried off. Uber just alerted you. They're 5 minutes away. What's your quick beauty routine? What do you put on? What are your like holy grails to get out the door and get in that car on time?
Okay. I've washed my face in the shower, ideally. I did an article about how to cleanse your face. Don't put your face right up in the shower because you have broken capillaries if you have that like pounding water on your face. I learned that from Kylie Cavico Rec from Knockout Beauty. but I put on usually like Vintner's Daughter and a good Lula, which is a moisturizer I love, or the Editrix. I'm trying that still. And then an SPF. And then I am very, very minimal. I love the Merit makeup stuff. I mean, I don't know if you guys use the Minimalist.
Yeah, we
concealer,
love,
love. Flush Balm, love. Or the
so good.
Or this one, the Jones Road in the Miracle Balm in this color.
Oh, I'm dying to try this.
I got it in the
Jones Road. Send us some, please.
Send them some. This is in the pink. This is sort of a pinkish color. But in the summer, I was using more of the bronzy. But I use on the cheeks.
You just like rub it all over?
On the cheeks and then on my lips. And then I'm doing one last article for beauty. I'm doing is for Vegan Day. But I found this and I keep this in my car. If it's Uber, I wouldn't. But this is on the way to carpool. It's called Axiology. It's a teeny little crayon.
Oh,
and it's and I keep it in my pocket sometimes if I go to an event or whatever. And it's the same idea.
Oh, nice.
It's a little crayon.
Lips. Yeah.
Cheeks, lips. Ooh. And you could probably put it on your eyelids. But
yep. I was just thinking that.
And that is it.
I've never heard of that brand.
And then there's a teen skincare brand called Rile, R-I-L-E, that I did. I love these teen skincare brands that just came out because I have these boys that are 14. They needed their own skin products. They have a lip balm that they don't like because it's too spicy. I love it. It's a spice chai.
Oh, yum.
Put Ooh. That on my lips because I don't wear a lot of lipstick except for I've used that lip oil recently. But
nice. My daughter's been asking me for skincare products. Madeline, my 10-year-old, she's all in.
I will send you that article. There are several, and you know what they're doing? These brands are doing such a good job of trying to say it's simple, so you'll do it. It's not filled with all the harsh chemicals like, you know, Clean and Clear and that we grew up with. So it's not getting their skin already on that kick of like overproducing oil and everything. That's great.
All right. Last one before we head out. How do you maintain your daily nirvana?
Oh, gosh. Well, I get so much quality sleep.
Oh, good for you.
That's number
fantastic.
One thing.
Yeah.
I learned the hard way. I have to have good sleep. And I think the higher dose bag in a combination with some Calm magnesium before I go to bed really makes for good sleep. And then I CrossFit several days a week, and that really, really helps sleep and then just make me feel good. And then just meet my family.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
We need to have you back. I feel like there's so many more conversations we can have about this, but it's so nice to meet you. I'm so glad we got to connect. We'll continue to talk. We'll be DMing and talking on Instagram. Okay. And
we'll be in touch.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Nirvana Sisters. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes, please subscribe, and leave us a review. Also, find us on Instagram at Nirvana Sisters. If you loved what you just listened to or know someone that would, please share it and tag us. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of Nirvana Sisters. We'll continue to watch out for all things wellness so you don't have to. Bye.